Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of Penama Petrochem Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and anyone who wishes to ask a question may ask a question by pressing star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, you may enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on the touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Narvekar, Vice President, Corporate Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Panama Petrochem Limited earnings conference call for Q3 2022. I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to all of you by taking your time to join us on this call. This conference call may contain some forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinion, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I would like to introduce Mr. Hussain Rehani, Joint Managing Director of Panama Petrochem Limited, and Mr. Pramod Maheshwari, Chief Financial Officer of Panama Petrochem Limited. I request Mr. Hussain Rehani, Joint Managing Director, to share the Q3 performance overview of our company. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mahesh. Good afternoon, everybody. It is my pleasure to welcome you to the quarter three earnings conference call of Panama Petrochem Limited. I hope all of you are keeping healthy and safe. Now, before talking about the performance, I wish to stress that the company produces petroleum-based value-added specialty oils for diverse industries with products like rubber process oils, printing inks, textile anti-static coating oils, drilling fluids, etc. Now about the performance. We witnessed a good demand across all product categories during the quarter, with revenue growth of 20% year-on-year, with stable margins in spite of disruption in supply due to recurrence of the COVID wave. Volumes were slightly lower in the quarter due to such disruption. However, the sales and profitability numbers crossed pre-COVID levels for 9-month period of the financial year 2022. In spite of increase in crude prices, the margins and profitability continued to remain firm during the quarter. The company has successfully passed on these price increases to most customers. Earnings per ton has also increased compared to pre-COVID levels. I request Mr. Mahesh Narvekar to give the financial highlights. Over to you, Mahesh.
Thank you, sir. On a consolidated basis, in Q3 FY22, the operating income for the quarter was 510 crore, which was an increase of approximately 20% on year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA reported was 69 crore against 70 crore on a year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 13.5%. Net profit after tax reported was 54 crore for quarter ended 31st December 2021. Tax margin reported at 10.6%. On a consolidated basis for the 9 months ending FY22, the operating income was 1,627 crore, which was an increase of approximately 79% on year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA reported was 229.6 crore, which was an increase of about 101% on year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 14.1%. Net profit after tax reported was 174 crore, which was a net increase of about 131% on a year-on-year basis. While tax margins were reported at 10.7%. Thank you. With this, we can now open the floor to question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, You may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, please wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. My name is Vicky Sir.
Okay.
And, you know, I have become a recent shareholder in the company. So, just had one broad question. Is if you look at the FY20, the gross margin of the company, which was hovering in the range of 14%, and FY21 going into, you know, the 9 months of maybe the first half of FY22, the gross margin jumped to about 23%, and in the third quarter it has moderated to 21%. And probably this was also what helped this was from what I understand is the import substitution benefit. So my question, larger question was, going forward, where do you see the gross profit margin to stabilize in what range? And in that context, the earlier guidance of the EBITDA percentage of 13%, I just wanted to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, Mr. Shah, thank you so much for joining the call and for your question. So I would just like to again start my answer with the management's focus on being more on the specialty zone of products. As you must have been tracking, we've been, and also I have mentioned in my previous call, that we've been continuously focused on introducing more specialty and value-added products, which has drastically helped us to improve our profit margin, the gross margin. In the current quarter, we have seen that there was a lot of volatility, of course, due to the when the Omicron was identified at the end of November, we had the oil prices substantially dropped. And then currently in the subsequent months, due to the geopolitical situation in Russia, we've seen again the oil prices drastically going up. So this definitely has impact on the margins, especially for the contracted orders where we cannot change prices. But overall, I would like to say that the focus of the management is to keep on introducing more specialty products, to further increase the share of the specialty oil from the current 65% going forward to larger portion of specialty oil taking over the conventional oil. So we see the margins to remain sustainable. Also, we have passed on pricing mechanism with most customers, which help us to drive us over in these critical situations. So overall, going forward with the increase in the share of the value-added products, we are confident to maintain our margin.
So the earlier guidance of the EBITDA in the range of 12-14% sales, right?
Yes, we expect anticipated EBITDA margins to be between 12-14%.
Yeah, and the important component for that being gross profit margin, because you're anyway kind of 100% utilization and you're adding capacity and all of that is also getting consumed.
Correct.
So, hence the gross profit margin also you expect to be range bound, say in the 23% range?
Yes, would be range bound in that range.
Yeah, because, this first 6 months, the 23% gross profit has helped you to sustain an EBITDA margin. And if this moderates, then it will be difficult for you to maintain the EBITDA in the range of 12 to 14%, because there is no operating leverage, so to speak, you know, because you are already at 100%. So I was just trying to get that perspective.
Yeah, as I said, in the Q3, there was a lot of volatile situation, which going forward, we feel that once things stabilize, it will be more comfortable. But still, in this tough period, we've been able to pass on most of the price increases to customers, and we've been able to maintain our margins. And with more value-added products replacing the conventional products, we will definitely have better EBITDA margins going forward. So we keep the our guidance of 12 to 14% of EBITDA margins.
Okay, one last question, then I'll come back with you. The employee expense for the quarter was 4 crores as against 16 crores in first half, which indicates a run rate of 8 crores. So what is the reason for the cost dropping to 4 crores? Because it's almost a 1 percentage point impact on bottom line.
Yeah, in the first and the second quarter of this year, we had given performance-based incentives to our employees, which has resulted in that, in the employee cost going up. That was the reason majorly for the employee cost.
So the steady state employee cost is about 4 crores per quarter, and on top of it you will have the incentive. Is that the way to understand it?
Yes, it is about 4 to 5 crores, the employee cost.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is from the line of Saurabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, for the good results. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Sir, I'd like to check on 2 questions. First one is regarding which new names you have added recently to your clientele list, and are these long-term contracts? And I'll, if you can answer this, I can then ask the second one.
Sure. I would not be able to give you any names, but yes. We have added new business in our list of clients in this year, and most of the business with these new customers is on contract basis with a pricing mechanism of a monthly basis and a quarterly contract.
Got it. Okay. Second one is I see your overseas subsidiary, which is Tenon Industries. I believe they have already started production there, and if you can highlight at what capacity the plant is running as of date?
We are running at over 100% capacity utilization at our subsidiary Tenon Industries. Our subsidiary company is more focused on servicing, specialized products for the specialized industries in the MENA region. So we see, the margins from the subsidiary company has been improving over the years with the introduction of new products and new regions and new horizons. And we are confident going forward the subsidiary company to keep on giving good support to us with increasing margins.
Okay, sir. But so can we assume that the margins which Tenon is now contributing around 9%, it can enjoy the similar margins which your domestic unit has, around 15%?
Yes, the margins at Tenon is about 12%. And we expect that going forward it will be sustainable.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Follow up.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Ramesh Damani from Ramesh Damani Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, Hussain. Good afternoon. Congratulations on a good quarter. How are you? Hello. I just want to ask you, Sen, the price of oil has risen so sharply this quarter. Are your price rises lagging behind by 30 days or so? So can we expect a better price realization next quarter?
Yeah, Mr. Tamani. So, yes, this quarter we faced a very volatile swing in the oil prices, first going down substantially and then increasing substantially. But as I have been mentioning in my previous call and discussion, is that we have a monthly pricing with our customers, and also, you know, about 60% of our raw materials we are buying on contract basis with our suppliers. So this really helps us to tide over any kind of a supply disruption. And on the pricing, you know, normally our raw materials prices are timelined about 4 weeks, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, I would say, compared to the oil price movement. And whatever the changes in the prices, in the raw material prices, we pass on to our customers, as we have a monthly pricing mechanism with them. So it's a pass-through mechanism most of the time. Going forward, we feel that with these high oil prices, our raw material price will definitely be following suit, and it will be going upwards, and the same would be passed on to the customer.
Yeah, that's it. So, the final question, is there any demand slowdown in the industry? Do you feel that your volumes are suffering because of a demand slowdown, or is it just a seasonal thing?
There was a little bit of a delayed offtake from most customers because of the lockdown we faced in the Q3 due to the Omicron wave and the COVID wave. So there was a little bit of a delayed slowdown, but mostly we have a yearly forecast from customers for the demand. So we are, you know, very hopeful in the current quarter it would be taken up. So more or less on a yearly basis, we do achieve our targets with our customers, but we do feel that in the Q3 there was a slight slowdown in the demand because of the COVID wave.
Great. Thank you, and best luck for the next quarter.
Thank you, Mr. Damani.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Akshay.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, Mr. Hussain, sir.
Yes.
I have a few questions to ask. My first question is on the margin trend. What is the guidance in the coming quarters as we move to normalized business scenario? And my second question would be, can we have a future order book outlook at least for next 2 quarters?
Yes, so, you know, on the EBITDA margin, we have given a guidance of 12 to 14%, which is sustainable. And for the coming 2 quarters, we have a quite a healthy order book on hand. So it looks quite promising quarters going forward.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Naveen Goel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Good evening, Naveen.
Hi, Naveen.
I just wanted to ask you, so what is your outlook on volatility in the key raw material price, which are food derivatives and foreign exchange fluctuations? And one more thing, so what is the contribution from export sales, and does the company enjoy pricing power in exports?
Yes, in regards to your first question, regarding the price, the expense, regarding the, you know, the oil prices, we feel that it will remain at higher level going forward, and we would have subsequently, our raw material prices would be, would be going up going forward. Regarding the forex, we have a firm forex policy. You know, about 60% of the exposure on the forex is naturally hedged because of our export turnover.
and export rupee, and another 20% we do forward contracts, and keeping only about 30% to open exposure. So we are quite covered on the forex front with our policy. And in regards to your second question, this quarter we had about 43% sales from the export, and we do have a better pricing and realization from our export orders.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. And best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manpreet, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Jani, quick question. So you mentioned to Mr. Damani that in Q3 you saw some customers holding back because of Omicron, but since you have annual contract with them, so what I'm understanding from that is that possibly in Q4 you should be able to cover up on the less demand that you saw in Q3. So would that assessment be right?
Yes, that's the right assessment.
Okay. And my second part on revenues itself. So you mentioned that there was a disruption in supply chain in the Q3, and that also led to fall in volume. So I'm assuming that now starting of Q4, things are almost back to normal?
Yes, in terms of the COVID wave, we are all hopeful and we have been strongly coming out of it to normalcy. But I would still feel that on the oil prices, still there is a lot of volatility due to the geopolitical situations developing world over. So it's difficult to predict, but on our side, we've been very prudent in our procurement. We have supply agreements with our suppliers, so any unlikely disruptions, at least we have the supply contracts, the supply volumes which will keep on flowing to us. So we really hope that, there is more stability on the in the oil prices going forward, which may, I guess, still take maybe a few months for things to clear out. But yeah, we are hopeful the demand outlook is looking stronger than Q3 in the Q4, and we would be definitely keeping up the good run rate going forward.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And from my side, I would just like to add that I've been a shareholder in your company for the last 4 years. And seeing the way you've grown after COVID has been very encouraging. And I hope that you grow by leaps and bounds. So it's been a great journey for me.
Thanks, Matthew, for encouraging me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parag, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question was basically regarding the coming year, not the FY22, but FY23. So what is the CapEx that the company expects to do in the coming year, and how does the company expect to finance it?
Thanks for that, for your question. So we have a CapEx. We have a plan to increase our capacity by about 20% in the next 3 years from the current So from the current 240,000 tons, we take it up to about 340,000 tons, and the CapEx is about 100 crores, which will be also internal approvals. We are a debt-free company, and we really look forward to remain so.
Okay, and just a follow-up question is, I just observed a minor observation, your short-term debt, as you said, your long-term is no long-term debt, but short-term debt is just a trend last a few years, has been going up, so I think maybe related to the working capital. So how do you plan to bring that under control, or is that a concern for the company, if at all?
No, it's not a concern, it is well under control, the short term. Mr. Mahesh, would you want to add something on it?
Yes, if you see the working capital cycle, it has remained stable over a period of time. And we are enjoying a very good cash credit. So, we suppose that we don't require much commitment as far as working capital is concerned, because we do have adequate funds with us. Working capital requirement is not that much.
Okay, and just one last question which I had is like, just assuming that, positively thinking that when as we go in the next year, that is, next financial year, we move into a COVID-free scenario. So leaving COVID behind and whatever supply chain issues that have resulted, other than that, and other than oil, which no one can predict, what are the major challenges that Panama, sees itself? I mean, assuming that there is no COVID and oil no one can predict. Other than that, what would be the major challenges that the company sees and how it plans to tackle it?
Yeah, Parag. So there are no other challenges except the volatility of the oil prices and the lockdown that we see is facing over 2 years due to the COVID wave. But other than that, we are well on course. The R&D team is continuously adding new sets of products which are more of environmental friendly, more cleaner and greener products, meeting international regulations. So we are well on course in terms to supply customers' requirements, changing requirements for better products. So we don't only supply them products, but we give them a good solution to their requirements. So as long as the oil prices are in check, we feel that there are no other major challenges that we may face.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot for answering my questions. I'll get back to you with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from SkyRidge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. So you said the volumes were lower this quarter. Was it across all sectors or a particular sector was affected more than the other? Because as I understand it, you supply products to wide range of industries, right? So.
Yes. Thanks, Abhishek, for your question. So overall, if you see, it's only a marginal drop in the volume for this quarter compared to the previous quarter, and if you will compare to the same quarter last year, we've been doing the revenues have in fact gone up by almost 20%. So I would say more or less all segments were slightly slower compared to the second quarter, especially in segments like for the fast moving consumer goods or cosmetics, we found a little bit slowdown, but more or less we have kept up the volume this quarter, and certain orders we had in the inks and resins industries and other industries, the offtake was a bit delayed, which would be covering up in the subsequent quarter.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is regarding your base oil supply situation. Have you seen any supply side issues in terms of higher ocean freight or maybe pricing issue?
We, as I mentioned in my earlier answer, that about 60-70% of our base oils are under supply agreements. So we have contracts with suppliers. So we've not faced any major disruptions in the supply.
So then ocean freight for?
In the ocean, yeah, the ocean rates are continuously being very, very volatile. It's been increasing, but as I said, it's a part of the cost which is passed on to the customer, and it's a global phenomenon. So customers are now accepting these higher prices because there is no other option. And, the export in this quarter was about 43%. It was quite encouraging. So we see a stable supply to our export customers and export markets.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you for all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Uttav Anand from UV Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible to you.
Hi, Uttav.
Hello. Yes, I'd like to ask you about the capacity. You are working around at 260,000 tons today.
So, your
current capacity is 260,000, right?
Yeah, about 240,000.
about 240,000, and by when are you planning to increase this charge basis, like to 80 or 3 number?
Yeah, about 270,000 in this year.
In this financial year or the current?
In this financial year.
For approximately by first April, you will be operating at 275.
Yeah, by the Q4, end of this quarter 4.
End of Q4. Yeah. And Dubai, what about Dubai? You were also having at approximately 10,000 over at Dubai also, right?
Yeah. Totally 30,000 from Dubai and from our UAE and Indian plant. So it would be about 10,000 from Panol, from UAE, and 20,000 from our Indian plant.
By the end of Q4.
Yes.
Okay, and one more question I'll ask you, that is the lead time that you have added. Can you tell us derivative bracket that you will be banking? That you can, the company will expect to target derivative rate that you will be getting from them?
No, can you repeat the question? I didn't get it.
The lead time that has been added to the company on contract basis and monthly basis, what revenue is the company targeting? Like, what order book can you carry from these guys?
Yeah, would be about 5 to 6% from the new customers.
About 5 to 6%.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritva Merchant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello sir, this is Sulfikar Merchant. I am a shareholder, individual shareholder. So I would like to ask you two questions regarding. Can you brief us the status of the capacity expansion program? And the second question is, due to increase in the crude prices recently, how is the operation impacted and effect on the margins?
Yeah, Sulfikar Merchant, thank you for your question. So on the CapEx, as I already have informed earlier, we will be increasing the capacity from 240,000 tons to 340,000 tons in the coming 3 years. And in the financial year 2021-22, we will be adding 30,000 tons, which will be commercially available from Q4. On the second question regarding the operating margins, the crude oil has been very, very volatile, what we have seen in this quarter. First it dipped and then again gone up substantially. So it does have an impact on the business and the margins, because contracting orders, we have to fulfill all commitments. But we have a pass-on mechanism with our customers. So have a monthly pass-on mechanism to our customers, and we anticipate the margins will be stable and sustainable as per the guidance given.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudhir Bheda from Raitan Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and congrats for steady set of numbers in the given circumstances.
Thank you.
Sir, my question, actually I have joined little bit late, so excuse me for that if I am repeating the question. Can you throw some more light and color on the statement that you just said, our R&D team is working and coming out with the newer and environment friendly products, and which are finding traction in the export market and with the LNC. So, elaborate on that, what kind of new products. And as we have from 65% value-added products to 90%. So if you can throw some more color on that.
Sure. So thanks for your question, Mr. Deva. We have a DSIR approved R&D center in our Ankleshwar plant. The team is continuously working on introducing new sets of products. Especially, there are many regulations being enforced world over regarding the, one part of the oil which is carcinogenic in nature, the aromatic content. There is a global regulation to reduce the polycyclic aromatics in the oil to below 3%.
but most of our certain of our industry, they demand almost nil or zero aromatics. So we are continuously introducing new products which are compliant to global standards, which are compliant as per the requirements to the customers. And these new products are continuously replacing this existing set of products. Most of the products, the demand for new products comes from the customers and to our technical team, to our R&D team, and they keep on providing them new samples, the new formulations, meeting their requirements. So it's an ongoing process, what I would say. It's not an overnight change. There is a continuous addition of new products in our portfolio. We are getting into more specialized segments, and this has really helped us to improve our margin, as we've been seeing numbers. Going forward, we would be wanting to further build up the specialty business up from the current 65%. About 80 to 85% going forward. So there is a continuous work going on back end with our team, and which has we've got good results out of that, and we will definitely be continuing this focus. We will more focus on this part of our business strategy.
Great, sir. So and my last two questions is I'll summarize it in one sentence. In which area those new products will find application? And the second part of it is, so what kind of margin increment we will see in FY23 due to this kind of changes where we are moving to 85% of the specialized products?
Yeah, so we are, especially in segments for the textile industry, in the segments where we are focusing the paint industry. There is a continuous addition of new products. We have also introduced some new products in the drilling industry. So these are the segments where we are continuously more focused and working. With this change in our product mix, we expect the margins to be 12 to 14% going forward.
So that's what we are doing right now. So what kind of incremental margin we will get as we move from 65% to, let's say, 80-85% or 90%.
Yeah. So, especially for the next year, we have a very stable margin guidance, because also we see a lot of volatility ahead. But we are confident to have a guidance on stable margin, range-bound margin.
Mm-hmm. Great, sir. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Utsav Anand from UB Financial. Please go ahead.
I just like to ask, you mentioned that you've been increasing the specialty chemicals from 65 to 85. The 85% by when can you expect to achieve that?
It's a gradual changeover, so we have about 3 to 5% every year we are planning to replace the existing conventional products with the specialty products. So this would be in the next 5 years.
Next 5 years. And the capacity that you will be adding will be fulfilling this particular requirement.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now have the conference over to Mr. Hussain Rayani for his closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I would like to thank everyone who has participated in this call. For any further queries or information, please get in touch with our investor relations team, and we will be very happy to answer them. Thank you very much once again, and have a great evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.